Is ambition wrong? Is the desire for greatness bad? No, it's not. It's quite interesting that in our gospel passage, when Jesus gets approached by James and John, they ask for this amazing grace. Lord, can we sit at your right and at your left? That Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. But he doesn't rebuke them, doesn't chastise them. The other disciples do. They're like, what are you doing? What are you asking for? How dare you do this? But Jesus does not do this. Rather, he knows the desire for greatness is built into every human heart, every human being. We yearn for greatness. We yearn to do something amazing and to be recognized for that greatness. We all have such desires. We look around our lives right now. We see our yearning to be good in whatever state of life, school, academic life, sports, in the military, in our business or corporate life. We desire to be great in our relationships, in our families. Jesus knows this because he built it into us. He gave us the desire for that greatness. However, what is interesting is that, like our situation, so many things, this innate good desire, this desire built in within us, has been twisted by the world, been twisted by sin. So Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't slam James and John and say, no, you cannot have this desire. Rather, he beckons them forward and says, let me reshape this desire for you. Let me turn it around, redefine what greatness is for you. So how does Jesus do this? How does Jesus redefine greatness for his followers, for you and I? Well, the first thing he does is point to baptism. He says to James and John, can you be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized? And they say, without really knowing what they're saying, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And indeed, they will be, as we are. We have little Felix Jai today as an example of baptism and a reminder of our own baptism, that we are baptized into the Lord. We also recognize that baptism is just the first step on the journey. It's the seed, if you will, of the great things God has for us, wants for us, and wants us to seek. Baptism is the beginning. But we are baptized also, as St. Paul says, into Christ's cross and resurrection. And that's the next step in which Jesus takes us. He says, James and John, can you drink of the cup that I am going to drink? And that's kind of a weird image. Why would Jesus say, this cup that I'm going to drink, you must drink? Where is this cup? If you remember back to Jesus' Last Supper, and for James and John, it is looking forward. They don't know it's coming. On the night of Jesus' passion, he kneels down in the Garden of the Gethsemane and says, Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the cross and die. But not as I will, but as you will, Heavenly Father. The cup that Jesus is talking about is suffering, is sacrifice, is vulnerability. And he says to James and John, are you willing to drink this cup? And once again, not really knowing what they're saying yes to, they say, yes, we will. And they do. They do later on in their lives. But this cup and this baptism point us to the ultimate reality, the ultimate way in which Jesus flips the idea of greatness upside down. And that is his cross. Jesus' cross. Our world today holds up many things as greatness. And two qualities in particular. First of all, power, and second of all, strength. That we must be powerful in our lives. This seems so obvious to us. Yeah, in order to do well in business, school, my life, my family, I must be powerful, must be strong. That's how I conquer things. That's how I achieve greatness. And yet, is that really how we achieve greatness? We have phrases that are kind of stock phrases from, you know, Dr. Phil or Oprah. Believe in yourself. Be who you want to be. Follow your dreams. All nice things. All great. But without God, without Jesus, those are very hollow and have no power to transform one's life. Rather, they give us a reward that fades. But what does Christ point to? Instead of strength, instead of power, Jesus points to service. Instead of strength, Jesus points us to vulnerability. Service and vulnerability are the ways in which Christ glorifies his followers. Service and vulnerability. So service. You know, we've been talking in our homily series about the calls in life. The first we talked about marriage. The next week we talked about religious life, priesthood, being a sister or brother in the church. This week we talk about the universal call to holiness. Everyone here. Children, all the way up to the oldest person in this room, we are all called to holiness, radical holiness. And the greatness the Lord talks about, this vulnerability, this service, is how each of us are going to live that out, no matter what our vocation is. So service, let's take service first. At the end of the gospel, Jesus is how Jesus redefines what greatness is. He says, in the world, all the authorities of the world, governments, great men, they lord it over their followers. But it shall not be with you. The greatest among you shall be your servant. The first shall be the last. Take the lowest place. Basically, follow my example. The questions we have before us are these, my friends. Do we serve every day? Do we serve and lay down our lives for the people all around us? Could be our parents, could be our children, our spouse, our coworkers, our friends. Do we go out of our way to do something kind for them? And at the end of our day, do we say, not did I achieve much today, but did I lay down my life in service? This is the way the Lord rewards us, in service. But the second way, and this is perhaps a little bit more radical, even in service, is vulnerability. Vulnerability. Now this one seems to fly in the face of everything our culture says. We love strength. Vulnerability is hard. I'd rather not show my weakness. We'd all rather not do this. Being weak and vulnerable is scary. It's really scary. And yet, haven't we realized that when a person is vulnerable with us, comes to us in kind of the crisis of a moment saying, I need help, how bonded we are with that person. How much we want to reach out to them, how the instant human connection is made. It's absolutely amazing. We realize that in vulnerability, we are connected as human beings, and what's deeper, we are connected with God. We have that wonderful scene in the Gospel of John where all the apostles were able to see Jesus, but Thomas wasn't among them. And he says, I will not believe until I am able to place my hand into his side and my finger into the nail marks. To be vulnerable is to show each one another our wounds, where we hurt. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Thomas, put your hand here, put it into my side. Put your hand here into my nail marks. I will show you my wounds first. I will be vulnerable first so that you can be vulnerable with one another. I was thinking about this, as reflecting on this homily and thinking, about 9 months ago, I got up here and preached about vulnerability. And I knew if I did that, I'd have to go first. So I got up here and said, I'm lonely sometimes. And my friends, that's hard. I didn't want to do that. I did not want to say that. Not to say it at all the masses on the weekend to everyone in public. However, the amazing friendships that I have gained from that and the intimacy I have with the Lord for doing that, is absolutely incredible. My intimacy with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is extraordinary, and I love it, and I want it to grow deeper. The intimacy I have with so many of you, the gift that I have as a priest, is extraordinary, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yes, the world tells us, be strong. But Jesus says, be vulnerable, and you will receive so many gifts that you never expected. My friends, we are called in our baptism to true greatness, the greatness of service and humility, the greatness of service and vulnerability. This is the greatness of the cross. James and John did indeed go on in their lives to embrace the cross. James laid down his life physically in martyrdom, and John died of old age, living out each and every day in service and vulnerability to his fellow man. We are called to this same greatness. We must set ourselves apart in our baptism. We're not made to fit in with this world, to fit in with strength and power as our main goal. We are baptized Christians asked to take ourselves apart. Say, Lord, we will follow you. We will take up our cross and follow you in vulnerability and service. Our crosses, your cross, my cross, is heavy. But Jesus carries it with us. And that is the power, the good news of the gospel. And if we take up our cross, if we are vulnerable, if we are servants, then we recognize there is true freedom. There are gifts given to us that we could not even possibly imagine. And then we remember from last week, the gifts our Lord promises us. If you take up your cross and follow me, he says, and give up everything for my sake, I will give it to you back 100 times more in this present age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and lands with persecutions and eternal life to come. So my friends, on this day, when we examine our vocation, whatever it might be servants. Be vulnerable with one another and with Jesus. Seek to be great in the eyes of Jesus, and our reward will be great indeed.